You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from Public Radio International and WNYC in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
I'm Catherine Lanfer, sitting in for John Hockenberry. We turn now to Femi Okey and the latest headlines.
Thanks, Catherine. 12 minutes to the hour. The Russian military has issued an ultimatum, ordering Georgian forces near the country's other breakaway region, Abkhazia, to disarm or face attack. One news agency says that Georgia has already rejected the demand. Government opposition parties in Zimbabwe are due to resume power-sharing talks later today. Negotiations broke down yesterday without reaching a deal. President Robert Mugabe says he's confident a deal will be signed. It's another good day for U.S. drivers. A survey of over 7,000 service stations says that gas prices are down 15 cents from 2 weeks ago to an average of $3.85 a gallon. And it's a gold medal number two for U.S. swimming champ Michael Phelps at the Olympics, but it comes with the help of teammate Jason Lezak. Together, Phelps and Lezak led the U.S. 400-meter freestyle relay team to a world record. I just have to pause a minute for Lezak, because all of the honors are going to Michael Phelps, and he's on his way to his eighth medal, etc., etc. But Lezak has three world records, five American records, four Olympic medals, eight national titles, and he's 32 years old, so he's a little old, and he's still bringing it on.
You're sweet on him.
Actually, I have seen him in his swimsuit, but I only have a professional interest in his career.
Well, he's quite impressive.
He swam really well, exceptionally well.
Listen to how her voice changes. She's sweet on him.
It's all right. He's too young for me. That's a look at your news, international and domestic, and a little insight into my personal life. Catherine, Adora, back to you.
All right. We are going to move now into politics. And in fact, before we do that, I just want to make sure that, gas prices have fallen. We've been asking people if their plans have changed. We really would like to hear from you. So tell us, 877-8-MY-TAKE, or go to mytakeatthetakeaway.org. Now, John Edwards has said for the news that he has offered an apology to his wife, Elizabeth, that he's asked for forgiveness for the affair that has been in the headlines. But there are some Democrats who he probably should also ask their forgiveness as well. We're going to get a little better take on the fallout from the John Edwards affair by checking in with Ben Smith, who is a reporter for Politico.com. Ben, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So let's talk about who exactly John Edwards should be asking forgiveness from.
Well, the people who are angriest at him are Democrats who supported him, notably his former campaign manager, David Bonnier, who could right now be in the middle of this nightmare where he was the nominee and his campaign was falling apart and the Democrats were losing the White House because he had lied about this affair a couple of years ago. So some of them are very angry. You know, others of them, one of his senior aides said to me, look, what was he supposed to do? Admit it? He was running for president. So.
Now, what impact does this have on the upcoming Democratic convention, if any?
It frees a little space on the podium is the main impact. He had been expected to give a primetime speech, and now he won't. So it's one more slot for a member of the Kennedy family or something like that.
I was just going to say, that's another slot for it. It means Bill Clinton can talk a little longer, right?
he will anyway.
But on a more serious note, though, Ben, I mean, there was a lot of talk that when Edwards backed Barack Obama a couple of months ago, that perhaps he could help Barack Obama with what at the time was a real gap that Obama had with working class white men particularly. Does this in any way impinge upon what the Obama campaign might have hoped, which was to send John Edwards out to campaign in those areas on his behalf where he needed that support?
You know, I don't think that was ever that serious. Edwards, although he sort of his routine was as tribune of the working class white men, his voters were actually the highest income voters of any of the candidates. Hillary Clinton was kind of actually the one winning that group. So no, I don't think there's really major fallout for anybody except him.
And you would say that in terms of the overall. So all of this media attention is just because of the salacious nature of the story and because we're nosy?
I think it's mostly because we're nosy and because, he was the sort of, to me at least, the notion that he could have been the nominee and that he was taking this incredible risk as he ran for president, that Elizabeth, who knew about it, was merits, too, is kind of an amazing story, just on the merits.
What about the fact that people were so slow to report it?
You know, a lot of news organizations are, for some reason, are beating themselves up about this. You know, there was this story in the National Enquirer. There were a lot of other outlets, and I think including our media reporter, talked to the Enquirer, and they said, well, we're going to have these pictures. And then they didn't produce these pictures, and we didn't want to kind of jump on a story that, as you say, it wasn't like any consequences were going to hinge on whether this was reported, you know, this week or next week. So I think a lot of news organizations were, you know, careful and appropriately careful.
Ben, what stories are you looking at this week as we move closer to the conventions? We're talking weeks away at this point. What kinds of things should we be looking out for this week, meaningful, that you think will be meaningful?
Well, you know, it's August, so it's hard to know what's meaningful. Both candidates are, you know, looking for vice presidential nominees. Obama is in Hawaii this week on vacation, so we're sort of led to believe that he's really taking the week off and won't be, you know, popping up in Virginia with a running mate on Tuesday or anything like that. But although you never know, and then obviously the war in Georgia is a huge story, and the way the two candidates are reacting, McCain taking a sort of instantly anti-Russian line, Obama with Bush and others initially being a little more cautious, and, you know, so it was sort of an interesting moment in how they would actually deal with a real messy international crisis.
What did you say, Barack Obama with Bush?
Yeah, Bush, Obama, and most world leaders were initially sort of calling on all sides to disengage, including Bush and Obama, notably, and McCain was notably kind of to the right of both of them and was immediately condemning Russia. So it was, I mean, sort of an interesting moment as Bush sort of in his second term moves back toward a kind of foreign policy mainstream, and McCain sounds a little more like Bush of the first term.
Now, we have the first joint appearance, I believe it is, of John McCain and Barack Obama coming up this week, Saturday, at Rick Warren's mega church in Southern California. What are expectations for that?
Well, I mean, it's a forum where Obama should really excel. He's somebody who, part of the reason that he's seen as a strong candidate is because he can actually talk about his religious faith in a way that a lot of Democrats can't, and in a way that John McCain doesn't really come from a tradition where he can kind of, he's an Episcopalian. It doesn't come from a particularly expressive tradition, and Obama, unlike a lot of Democrats, actually is very fluent in talking about how he came to Jesus, which is not something you're going to hear John McCain talk about, so it's kind of a reversal.
Huh. Does any of this stuff really stick, Ben, or do you think the conventional wisdom holds, which is this year will be like every other presidential election year, which is voters don't really start making up their mind until after the conventions?
Well, it seems like the thing that a lot of people hoped, which is not happening, is that this country, the country is less divided, that, you know, it's all going to reunite around one of these two candidates. I mean, it seems like, as usual, it's a very divided country. You've got, you know, a solid 40% or more firmly in either camp, and so they're fighting over the middle.
They're fighting over the middle, and some people say, actually, much to Barack Obama's dismay, he has really not taken off in the polls as some of his supporters might have expected, given the level of enthusiasm and support that he's gotten over the time. Is that more indicative of just how divided we are in America when it comes to the issues?
There's a lot of debate over what that's an indicator of. I mean, first of all, he's winning, and it's the winner wins in this race. There's no, you know, there's a close second doesn't get you anywhere. So he shouldn't be too upset about that. But there's a lot, you know, whether it's the fact that this is just a divided country and the Democrat was going to do poorly, or whether it's because he's the first African-American nominee and there's some voters who just aren't going for that, or if there's, you know, another reason about him or about McCain, you know, who at least used to be seen as this very independent, appealing character, and is probably a much stronger Republican candidate than any of the other possibilities.
All right. Well, Ben Smith, I want to thank you for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
That is Ben Smith. He is a blogger and reporter for Politico.com. I'm Catherine Lanfer, reminding you that I'm in for John Hockenberry today and that we are always here at The Takeaway. You can catch up with us on Facebook or Friend Feed or Twitter.
On today's show, Pakistan, Bolivia, and the cyber conflict in Georgia. I'm sure we're going to hear more about that.
Mm-hmm. We're checking in on the Olympics as well. Hey, what is your Olympic event for your Monday morning commute? You can tell us at 877-MY-TAKE.
And here's today's takeaway.
Thunder and lightning on a biblical scale, flooding, women's in tears. It can only be archery.
That was Ollie Williams, the one and only Olympics blogger for the BBC. And that's right, only for archery would Olympians brave torrential rain and lightning for their sport.
Of course, we want to know what your take is on the day's news. There's so much to go over, Adora.
As always, and they can find us at thetakeaway.org. Listen to our show online and weigh in. I'm Adora Udoji.
And I'm Catherine Lamper. And this is The Takeaway.